The following audio is from Park Church in Denver, Colorado. More information about Park Church is available online at parkchurchdenver.org.
So here we are back again doing a follow-up from our previous Women's Formation Night. And I wanted to take some time to just introduce our women that will be sharing a little bit about themselves. And so... Yeah, I'd love for each of you to just briefly tell me a little bit about yourself, your family, maybe where you're from, what you do, both past and present.
Cool. So my name is Molly, and I am currently a student at Colorado Christian. So I'm in my senior year of college, and I, during the school year, mostly do my homework and go to class, but then... The last couple summers, I've worked at a summer camp. I've done a couple jobs in the food industry and then lots of babysitting. I'm originally from Durango, but love living up here in Denver.
And I'm Carrie Nedred. I'm from Arizona. I'm married, so from my first job as a wife to love Joshua and support him and encourage him and manage a household together. My second job is that I'm a mom to Isaiah and Eleanor. And so it's caring for their practical needs and also parenting them and disciplining them into the Lord. And I'm also a part-time pediatrician. So I work 3.5 days a week with underserved kids, mostly Spanish-speaking, a variety of other refugees and recent immigrants, as well as a mix of a few other demographics. But I get to just... show them the love of Jesus in caring for their physical bodies and also their social needs. And I, in the past, have done every minimum wage job that exists. And I think in doing that, have appreciation for those who are in service jobs and also got to work with people really different from me and different from the way I was raised.
And I'm Colleen Hunter, and I've been married for about 6 years now. I am currently a stay-at-home mom. That's my latest gig. Prior to that, I had, almost 7 years as an elementary school teacher, and then I was in vocational ministry for about 7 years. So, and most of my adult life has been in Washington, D.C. So prior to that, though, I did grow up in the Philadelphia area, but my husband and I have been here for about 1.5 years now in Denver, and we love it.
Thank you guys so much. And I know, as you guys might hear a little bit in the background, we've got a lot going on with some kiddos, but we are grateful for everyone to take some time and come out today. And so, one, we just wanted to take some time to address the questions that all the women had submitted at the Women's Formation Night, but we didn't get a chance to answer. And so these are questions that are follow-up from that evening. So one of the questions that actually was the most popular was the question, when you're exhibiting the character of God and your coworkers recognize it, how do you attribute it to God to avoid them thinking you're simply a good person? You guys, any thoughts on that?
Well, first thought is, what are you doing with that internally? So when someone is saying something like that, are you embarrassed or are you rejoicing and encouraged that in fact there is fruit of the Spirit in your life? Because that is like the first thing. It's like, what's actually going on with you? So when this would happen to me, I think I would often make kind of a joke, and I would often say something like, trust me, it is not me. But thank you, and like move on. So you sort of receive the compliment, but you're not receiving it for you when you do it that way. And those people that are paying attention will often follow up and ask, what are you talking about? It's not you. I just saw you do this. And then you can say, you know, well, I'm telling you, it is Jesus. And you get to talk about a little bit of your faith. And in other times, it might not look quite like that, but just in a way that you can receive it with joy and know that, and thank God, you know, in your own prayer life that, wow, God, that's you. I know that's you. That's not me, is probably the most important part of that response.
I think also this is a really cool chance we have to exhibit God's character, not even just like in the situation that someone's recognizing, but in that moment. And I think we see in the Gospels Jesus's honesty a lot, and I think that's a really piercing part of who he is. He never really shies away from being like, yeah, I am the Messiah, I'm the Son of God. And so when people ask him who he is, I don't feel like he really shies away from that question. And I think that's often surprising to people. I think sometimes it offends them. It's not always what they want to hear, and maybe doesn't always feel timely. But I think in those opportunities, we also have the chance to be honest and say, like Colleen said, that is the power of Christ in me. That is not me just acting out of who I am, because if you saw truly who I am, this would not be it. And so I think we get the chance to reflect Jesus in that answer too.
Yeah, and I think even, like you said, I mean, that and the flip side of it, like even owning when something doesn't, you don't do something well. I mean, I think it's so easy for us to want to kind of, I mean, I think so many Christians want to go into performance mode, but how do we own our own, get our own mistakes and actually practice like humility and ask forgiveness? And I think that will also shine light into the good works as well. Is there, there's something about the way you're operating that seems a little different. But thanks, guys. Yeah. And so kind of following on that, I think as we think about work, it's often, I think I hear a lot, people struggle a lot with the work-life balance. They, especially living here in Denver, I think often there's this tension of either a lot of play or a lot of work. And so the question is, work-life balance, how should that look? How can you defend personal time with grace?
It's funny that we are talking about this, because I don't feel qualified to answer this question at all. I was actually just looking over some of these questions while I was in class, which is really just a case in point picture of the fact that I don't balance this. And I feel like often I'm doing one thing while I'm doing another thing. And so I am actually really excited to hear what you guys have to say, because I'm trying to learn this myself.
I think the first thing that I would say is that it's really different for different people. And it's really different in the same people in different life stages. And so when I was in residency, it was 80 hours a week, but it was only for 3 years. And so like you sometimes have these times that are just really busy times, and there's not a lot you can do about it. And that's okay, I think, to recognize that there are seasons of busyness. I think some of the things I do now are that, like, I really try hard not to chart at home and not to check email at home and not to do anything related to work at home. And I know some people who do, and they prefer to get home quicker and then do it after the kids go to bed or whatever. And so there's different ways you can address that that I think work for different people. And I think I don't have any apps on my phone that alert me to anything, which I think is a good thing. So I just, I have to physically go in and like refresh my email to get emails, or I have to physically go in and check things to get things. So it's not like I'm getting pinged all the time. And I think also just thinking about what personal time is. And so trying not to just zone out on the phone or like browsing online, but actually like talk to a friend or interact with my kids or read a book or pray or like be conscientious about my personal time, so it's not just a mesh of always looking online or always, I don't, does that make sense? I don't know. And then I think too, like just figuring out ways to simplify things you can simplify. So we really like to cook, and we like to cook big meals, but we just don't do that right now. And that's okay in this stage of life, that we make quick meals that are easy. We use those crock pot bag inserts. Just like thing, you got to just get things to be, cut things where you can. And then when you've got dead time that you know, like car time, try and use that time to actually talk to your kids and talk to your husband and not just zone out for that 30-minute drive.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the key to work-life balance is intentionality. And I think that the most important thing is actually to seek the Lord about what that looks like for you, because there is nobody who's exact in the exact same everything that you are. You know, we have different, I know, like, I have physical limitations. I just have a capacity. I know it. And it's different from somebody who has the same job as me. It's just different. So I think it's simple, but sometimes we don't do it. If you're a physician, rest assured that God is the best physician, and he will lead you in what that balance should look like, so that you are ultimately giving your very best to the best places. And if you're a teacher, I mean, he's the best practitioner that there is. So you can trust him to kind of guide you with what that really looks like. I remember when I was an educator, I was just running ragged. I was just running ragged because it feels so important and I have so much to do. And really the inbox is never empty ever. So, but there was just this point, and I remember I was in the scriptures. It was like Psalm 127, and God just convicted me, like, you know, you labor in vain, you toil in vain. I am the one who builds this. And so at that point, I felt like the Spirit really helped me understand, like, you know what, I need to leave the office, you know, I need to leave the school building at 4:30. And that was like an hour past my like contract hours, and that I needed to leave my work there, which felt impossible at the time. I felt like the Lord had kind of led me to that. And I did it. And amazingly enough, you know, I figured out how to reorganize my day a little bit better. There were some things that didn't get done, but God just, you know, he provided for that process. So, I just think seek the Lord about what that really looks like, and be intentional, like Carrie was talking about where and what you can be intentional about.
Yeah, that's great. And Colleen, not to put you on the spot, but I do have kind of a follow-up question. I'm curious, from, since you're at home with kids, and even maybe Carrie, you can chime in on this, but, from a mom perspective, I think this is true for all life stages, but I thinking in particular about moms, it's often they'll say, I'll hear something like, you know, mom just needs some me time. Because, you know, you are home all day with your kids. What do you think a good balance, or what do you think is a biblical approach to me time, when you're full-time work is in the home? I guess I'd be curious to hear your thoughts on that, if you have any. Sorry.
Yeah, this is hard because you're always momming, right? Like, there's not really like a, yeah. I would say the same thing is seeking the Lord about what that looks like. And I would also encourage you, if you're fortunate enough to have a partner in this, a spouse, to engage that spouse about what that looks like for you too, because they might have insights into what you need. So my husband and I have figured out that I need about 2-3 hours a week where he gives me, where I am not at home and I'm not in charge of anything having to do with home. So, okay. So what that means though, you know, speaking to the me time, Kyle, is, for me is also, it's what is life-giving and recharges me in my mission of work. And so my mission right now is my children, my family, my home. And so being in the Word in that extended time, or being with a girlfriend who really spurs me in the Lord, you know what I'm saying? Like, that time, that's what that's for. And that's not the only time that I'm in the Word, or the only time that I get, but thinking through what's really life-giving, what draws me to Jesus, what stirs my affections for him, and then how that looks in my week, month, and year. And I really, again, think it's different for all moms. I have some mom friends that, I mean, their capacity, they can be doing, in fact, they do well when they're doing 10 things at once. I can do 3 things at once, and that is it. And so as soon as that 4th thing comes, it all falls apart. So I think just kind of being reflective about who you are, engaging a spouse if you're fortunate enough to have one, or someone who really knows you well, and trying to figure out what that looks like.
Yes. We've got a little visitor. Well, that's really helpful. I appreciate that. And I think even I was thinking, from a single perspective, I think there's also an element of, or even married without kids, there's often a tension of like, you can do more, like you feel, it's easy to take so much on because you're like, I have this time, or maybe you feel people put that pressure on you. And so I think there's a healthy balance of, kind of what we started to talk a little bit about earlier, just finding a good balance of, being faithful in work and faithful to love and serve and lay down your life for community, but also leaving margin in your life so that, you can be sensitive to the Spirit when He is prompting you to engage or rest and spend time with Him. I think I've been convicted of that this past week, just how quickly I run to find life in my to-do list. I think life can be found in just getting my things done. But the Lord's really been pressing on, what does it look like to rest in Him and, finding rest in the midst of the busyness, but also carving out space to, really engage well, in some reflective time on how He's at work in my life. So, thanks you guys for sharing on that. So even kind of that starts to overflow into the next question, which are, I think it's really an identity question, which, it says, what are some helpful strategies to protect our hearts from looking for self-worth in our work?
All right. So I think that's something that is easy for me to do, is to, look at my job as a pediatrician and want my identity to be in, like, the fact that I'm efficient and that I'm caring and that I get good outcomes, or, that my kids obey or things like that. And I think that those are all idols and that I can tell because I get angry and then I know that I'm not doing it for the right reasons. But I think for me, it's that I really need to be in the Word and hearing who God says I am and who God is and what He's done for me. And I think otherwise I make an idol of other people's opinions of me. And if I'm not constantly in the Word and thinking about God's character and His heart, then I easily put those other idols into place. I think too, for me, just confessing to God, but also to other people, I think is helpful for me to own my sin and not live in it and keep pushing into it.
Yeah, I would say I have two things. One, you need to be regularly with Jesus. You just need to be regularly with Jesus, whatever that looks like, okay? You just have to make it happen. And the second thing is you need community. You need people that love the Lord and spur you on, and they'll call you out on your stuff when you're starting to get obsessive about how you performed in whatever it was at work, or how you're responding to the pressures of life. So those are my two things. Be with Jesus, commune with Him regularly in His Word, and have community in your life. Make it a priority that know and love the Lord.
I think I would add to that too, just be attentive and hone in on times when you fail or when things go wrong. I think this is a huge temptation for me to look for my self-worth in the stuff that I'm doing. And so that all kind of crumbles when something doesn't go according to my plan. But I've learned that in those situations, I actually have the chance to take a step back and say, oh, wow, I like was really, really wrapped up in what I was doing. And so, just like take advantage of those times rather than being like, oh my gosh, I have to cover this up, I have to get out of it. But really just like even in that moment, asking God, like, what are you trying to show me through this? And what am I not seeing? And how am I not seeing you clearly? And how am I not seeing myself clearly in this situation?
And I think I'd love to kind of circle back a little to one of the questions we asked previously, which kind of ties along. I guess I'd just love to hear you guys kind of further expand on this. But like you hear sometimes people say, I don't feel valued by my kids or boss, or I don't feel valued by a coworker. My coworkers are difficult. And I think so often it's easy to get caught up in the identity piece there. Like if I don't feel valued at work, or if I don't feel my work is meaningful, that is where we start to place, we're when we hear those words and phrases, we are, it's kind of a trigger, a recognition of, or there's an opportunity to recognize that maybe we are putting a lot of worth in our identity. But any thoughts on that? If not, it's okay. But
yeah, I think just kind of in that idea of, and like in that vein of not feeling like work is valuable, I think that can be really troublesome, because it's like, oh, if my work isn't valuable and my work isn't great, then maybe I'm not great. And it's kind of this humbling moment. And so that's actually really sweet. And Kyle, I remember talking to you this summer. One day I was sweeping the floors at work, and I was like, wow, I am sweeping up crumbs that animals are, like little ants, are literally eating as I am sweeping them up. And I did this yesterday, and I will do it tomorrow. And yeah, it feels so worthless, because once I'm done with this, like, it's just going to get dirty again tomorrow. And yeah, so I think that is really challenging. But the beauty of that is getting to come to Christ in that place and say, wow, I really had made this big deal about myself. And I also am realizing, too, that I thought I was too good to do this job. Mm-hmm. But just saying, like, Christ, show me what you see as my identity. Show me who I am, kind of like I said a minute ago. But I think one thing I've been thinking about lately, too, is just the flip side of that, I think, can be more challenging for me when I'm doing things that I think are really worthwhile and when I feel really valued, because in the mundane things, I find myself running to Jesus and I'm like, okay, I really need your help because this is super mundane. But right now in school, I'm in a lot of classes where I'm learning things that I'm like, this is super important. I need to remember everything. Or when I do feel valued by the people around me, I'm like, okay, I need to keep performing here. And so then that starts consuming me into a place where I don't even feel like I'm thinking about the Lord. And so I think we can kind of idolize this place of having meaningful work, feeling valued, but really sometimes that can be detrimental to knowing who we are and who the Lord is.
No, that's good. And I mean, even in contrast, Carrie, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. Just like, even, I mean, we talked about this at the seminar, but just like when you're talking about your summer work, sweeping floors, and then on the flip side, you know, people say like, oh, you're a doctor, like that's got to be so glamorous, or that's something that like it's so easy to think. And I know, Molly, you said this to me in like this summer, just the thought of if only I had this, or if only my job was this, then life would be better. So I'd love to hear like a couple thoughts of yours maybe in response to that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's things that get really mundane and frustrating to me as well, and that I think I said that night, like, when the teenager comes in with their seventh STD, and you're like, come on, you know how to prevent this, you know what you're doing, and you just get frustrated, like, I'm not making a difference, this doesn't matter. And I think part of that is knowing that just that faithful pursuit of them over and over again is showing them God's love and the way that he pursues us over and over again, even when we don't like deserve it and when we're continually not doing what we're supposed to be doing. And then, I mean, I think, to earn, like what you said, like finding our identity in God and not in our work, whether we're doing well or not doing well. So like vacillating between depression and pride, I think. I mean, I think sometimes work can feel like a good old boys club, and you're like, well, who knows if I'll still have a job when all the good old boys decide. But it's like, I'm faithful with what I'm doing, and that's all I can do. I can't control the outcomes. Control other people, and so trusting the Lord, but also being faithful to work hard and to, you know, to do what has been put in front of me. And then I think, like when you feel like people aren't treating you well, feeling, well, remembering that Jesus made himself nothing for us, and that's our ultimate inspiration, is that our Savior, who is the King of the world, became nothing, and so we can also humble ourselves. And I think for me, when I want to advocate for myself, I tend to get angry, and I want to fight, and I think my husband comes from a family that wants to stuff it all down and act like nothing happened, and so we really have worked hard on how do we advocate well in a way that isn't, like, first addressing my own sin before I address somebody else's sin, and really thinking about, why am I reacting the way I'm reacting? Why am I feeling like I'm not valued? Maybe it's all in my heart and nothing about them. Or maybe it is something about them, but I need to deal with my own stuff before I start to talk to them about their stuff.
Yeah, and I think that even, like, you're hitting on heart idols, too. I mean, like, when we're frustrated or when we feel not valued, I mean, it is speaking to, some of the worship idols of our heart. Like, if I'm frustrated, what is actually going on within me when I don't feel valued or significant? It feels like something is, one of my idols is at war. And so I think, that's a great point. Well, this is a little bit more of a personal question. Someone said, or from a personal angle, it says, I feel most called to marriage and motherhood. But as that tarries, I feel like I need to go far in my career. Is it unfaithful to slow down without family? Maybe your thoughts.
I think this is a really good and honest question. I'm thankful that this was asked, and I think I would speak to this and just say you're not alone. I think this is something that a lot of women struggle with and wonder about. And I would say personally, I also feel called to marriage and motherhood, but not only something I feel called to, but that's something I think I desire. And I think I'm learning that just because I desire that doesn't mean that it's promised to me and doesn't mean that I'm guaranteed that I will get married. It doesn't guarantee that I will be able to have kids. And so I think it can be easy for me to kind of plan out my life in my head and say, okay, I'm going to make my decisions today based on the way I want my life to go. And that's not necessarily being faithful to what God has given me today and what he has called me to today. And so I think, yeah, there are things maybe I'm called to in the future, but I think looking around and saying, God, what have you called me to do today that I get the chance to be faithful with the things that I can see before me, and what have you promised me, and how can I live in light of that rather than in light of kind of like abstract things or desires of my own heart? Because ultimately, God knows what I need better than what I do, and he will call me to what he has me doing and not necessarily what I think I'll be doing.
Yeah, I think that's good. I also wanted to be married and wanted to have kids and didn't know if I would have either of those things when I decided to go into medicine. And I think a lot of people are like, well, are you sure you should be doing that? Like, how do you, you know, what if you want to be a mom later? And I did talk to women who were moms and were doctors and had struck a good balance of, in that case, working part-time and things. But I had role models that I felt like were doing both, which I think was good for me to see. But I also knew that I might never get married, and so I might not be a mom or I might not be a wife. And I guess I think too with the question, like, is it unfaithful to slow down without family? I'm not exactly sure like what going far or what slowing down means for you. But I think that even without a husband or biological children, we are all part of the family of God, and then we're all called to participate as part of the family of God. And so that even though you're not married right now, doesn't mean that you can't love and serve your church body and your gospel community and make time for that now, in whatever stage you're in. And then, I think that there's like people who God calls to be CEOs and to go like, quote, up the ladder. There's also, I think, people who are unfaithful in that time and don't love their families well. So I think that like there are people who have climbed the ladder and have done that really well and are serving God and giving God glory in those places. And so I think that it can look really different for different people and at different stages.
Way to multitask, Carrie. I wish you guys could see what's happening right now. This is like really funny. We've got a little one who is, just trying to kill herself, but save the day. All is well. All is well. I just want to affirm whoever asked that question. I think that there is a little bit of maybe pressure to not acknowledge that desire or maybe not acknowledge that call and kind of not know what to do with it. And so I think way to go for like asking it and wondering, hey, what do I do? And I feel like I say this a lot and I don't mean it to sound trite, but continue to seek the Lord at what pace you ought to go and what he might be asking of you. And I just agree with everything that Carrie and Molly had shared just about pursuing the Lord in the context that you're in and trying to be just as faithful as you can where you are. And the last thing I would say too is just to encourage, because I feel like I didn't get married till I was in my 30s. That's my son. I did not get married until I was in my 30s, and I did not know if I would as well, like Carrie said. Sorry, guys. This is motherhood right here. Yeah, lots of special multitasking. And I already lost my train of thought. Okay, focus. Son got married late. Wait. Yes. Okay. Oh, okay. Yes. And so what I would say is being open, you know, to what God is going to do and being kind of willing to do what he asks you to do, which is not easier said than done, but also encouraging people who are in that stage, which might sound like silly or small, but that question we had before this, which was like, do you ever feel mundane? I did not have that challenge until I was in motherhood. I felt like everything else I was doing was really important. And then I got to be a mom and I'm so grateful and it's wonderful, but I really struggled for like a year and a half feeling like I feel so much less right now. So having some people that, even though they weren't moms, being like encouraging me in it was really good. It was really helpful. So that might sound small, but you might be a really big source of encouragement for somebody who's in the season. Like you might be thinking the grass is greener, you know what I'm saying? But just like affirming like the value in that to somebody is also just really beneficial.
Good. And what Carrie was saying about the body is family. Like, how do we function as a church family and coming alongside each other in different seasons and caring for each other well in that. I think that's great. One of the last questions that the last question that was asked was how do you remain consistent between work and personal life as a Christian? This is a great question. It says it's easy to blend in at work, ending up being a different person outside of work. So any thoughts on that, or how do you find a good way to distinguish the fact that the Holy Spirit is living within you, but culture presses upon us in so many ways. So thoughts on that.
I think one place that I see a lack of consistency in my life is theologically between, especially the people I worked with this summer, just as an example, and my personal life. I was interning at Park and was constantly having these like pretty theologically rich conversations, and then I would go to work and be tempted to essentially tell people what they wanted to hear, even if I knew that's not what the Bible said, and if I knew that's not who God was. And so I think consistency, one huge key that I've seen be helpful for me has just been prayer. Starting to pray for your coworkers, pray for your neighbors, or whoever it is in your life that you see that disconnect with, and start to pray and kind of like invest in them through your prayer and in that workplace, and say, God, I want to see you work here rather than just kind of blend in. I think there are opportunities for you to move here, and I also just want to be true to who you are and represent you well. And so just a quick little story that seems kind of extreme, I think, for this example, but I think also helps to illustrate this point, is this summer I was working with a guy who we had quite a few conversations just about faith and kind of where he was at in that. But one thing that he brought up to me is that he basically wasn't a believer and said, I think the Bible says that if I'm not a believer and I die, I'm going to go to hell. And he said, no Christian will tell me that. He said, no one will be honest with me about what they really think. And he said, what's even more troubling to me about that is that if I am going to hell, why is no one concerned about me? And it was
really
a hard moment, kind of, because I was like, I want to be honest here. And this is someone who I have prayed for, and I want to represent God well to him, even if it's not what he wants to hear. And he pretty much asked me, he said, do you think that if I die this afternoon, I will go to hell if I'm not following Jesus? And I said, yeah, I think that's the way it works. And that was kind of a weird thing to put out there in the moment. But he ended up thanking me that I would be honest about that. And afterward, I actually got to say to him too, it was kind of silent for a little bit, but I said, but I also want you to know that I have been praying for you. And he was shocked. He didn't even know what to say. He was like, for me specifically? And I said, yeah. And so he just thought that was the most thoughtful thing that anyone could say to him, even though in my mind, I was like, this seems like the most horrifying thing that I could say to you. Yeah. And it's terrifying to kind of be put in that spot. But I think consistency there is really cool, because it's like, oh, God, who you are makes sense when we represent you truly. And so yeah. I think just growing in that in prayer has been a huge piece for me.
Yeah, I think prayer is just enormous in answering that question. This question could go so many different ways, so I hope we're answering it for the person who asked it. But another way that we can be tempted to be inconsistent might be like socially, just or lifestyle-wise. So there's like a social pressure to laugh at that joke or go along with what's being said. And I've experienced that both as a stay-at-home mom with other moms, and I've also experienced that, you know, in a professional, more vocational setting. But, and like you shared, Molly, similarly, it's a little counterintuitive to go the total honest route. And you think that this is going to go badly, but I have found the opposite to be true. So I had a mom and, you know, like the LGBT community will get brought up, or a parenting issue that, you know, it's just, we can have radically different ideas about it. But I find that rather than just nodding and agreeing, but sharing, winsomely sharing my belief on that or conviction about that, I have not found it to be negatively received. I've really found it to be intriguing to a person who has a different perspective, and then the conversation continues. And I get the opportunity to then be full of grace and truth in their perspective and what they're talking about. So I found that, yeah, go ahead.
Especially in the context of a relationship, I think too, like you're demonstrating care. I mean, you said with your coworker, you had a good relationship in the sense you've invested in that person. And so it's not just pouring out truth, right? That without.
Yes. Yeah. It's 100% in the context of relationship. I definitely, and I'm probably one that bides my time a little bit. Like, I like to listen for a while before I would share my perspective, and not because I'm trying to be inconsistent, because I really want to understand where somebody is coming from and what they're trying to communicate to me. And I don't think that that's a failure. I think that's good listening. I think that's caring for people. So, but yeah, I would agree. Do you want to add anything, Carrie? No? Okay.
Yeah, and I think even with that, I mean, at the root of this question, one of the things that you need to think about, and I think convicting for all of us, I mean, I struggle so much with people pleasing and fear of man. And so what is at war in my heart is my fear of man when I am put in a situation where I have to consider, is my life aligning with in work as well as outside of work? And so, or in my Christian life. And so I think that's one of the things where you have to recognize that, confess it to the Lord, and repent and say, Father, change me. Holy Spirit, change me, because I want to run back to this idol of fear of man, or whatever it is, comfort. Maybe it's you love going to happy hour and getting drunk with your coworkers, but then acting different with a gospel community, or whatever the circumstance. And so also taking time to say what's, yeah, I mean, Colleen, you kind of mentioned this at one point, even getting people around you. Would you talk a little bit about that? You were saying accountability in that. And
yeah, I was saying that, you know, one, inviting another believer into, if you know there's a discrepancy between your work life and your real life, we'll put air quotes around that, or however you behave at home, to engage someone who you really trust about that and start to reflect about why is that, which is what you were kind of getting at, Kyle, like, what is driving me to behave so differently in these two different settings? And then invite that person to pray with you, you know, through it. And then that's like a layer of accountability that might help you in the moment be a little bit even more aware when it's happening. Like, oh, right now is the moment that it's happening, because I was just talking to my friend Molly about this. And like, what is it that's making me do that? And I think that's really helpful in changing that and unlocking what's really going on.
Okay, I think it looks like time to wrap up. The kids are coming out. Well, girls, women, thank you so much I was looking at the kids as I said that. Thank you guys for joining and for helping us, just discuss these topics. I think, there's so much more to really press into, but I think, as we kind of said, like, in the context of community, in pursuit of Jesus, we can continue to see what it looks like for him to transform us in our areas of work, whether that be at home or in different contexts, like serving in a coffee shop or in the corporate office. So thanks, you guys. If you weren't able to join us at our last event, we did announce our our next upcoming event, which one of the biggest events we're doing is in April of 2018. We're excited to partner with the Gospel Coalition. On April 12th and 13th, we're going to be doing a what's called the Word-Filled Women's Ministry Workshop. And it's a two-day intensive, really studying the book of Colossians. There's prep work to be done, and then they will have some excellent teachers coming in and equipping us on what does it look like to study the word, grow in expository teaching, and many different areas to look at the scripture. So the registration will open in January, and so you can look for more details, but in the meantime, save the date.